This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today is the first Sunday in Lent. It began last Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and it continues. Intent today is self-examination. It's one of those things that it's easy to speak about and hard to do. This past Wednesday, with the anointing of the ashes, the cross of ashes on one's forehead, it's easy to forget that it's there. And during the service, it was really only directly apparent to me at a certain point when I held up the chalice and saw my own reflection in the bowl of the chalice and saw the cross of ashes upon my forehead there. In order to examine ourselves, to see ourselves, we need a mirror of some kind. The Gnostic scripture speaks of us as needing both a mirror and a source of light. This is true. When we engage in the process of self-examination, often the cheat, the shortcut, the way to weasel out of it, is to examine our ideas of ourselves, or to examine other people's ideas of ourselves, and not try to see who we really are at this particular moment. No matter how long we've been around, there's a history of our self-perceptions involved. It is what we have seen ourselves as being and doing before now, the many incarnations that we go through in this life. And those can clutter up our perception of ourselves. It can be hard to see who we are now, who we really are, even if we can clearly see beyond our mere conceptions or wishful thinking, the everyday delusions that cloud our minds. Psychology has shown a number of these that seem to always be a factor, always working in, that we perceive ourselves differently than how we perceive other people. When we consider our own shortcomings, we're much more likely to attribute those to circumstances, and the shortcomings of others we're much more likely to attribute to their character, their personal failings as a human being. So that's the sort of thing I mean when I talk about everyday delusions of ourselves. There seems to be certain things that are built in to keep us from really realizing how silly we are at times, and how wrong we are at times. Because as a biological creature, it's not really to our benefit. Studies that have shown that if you think that you're successful and think that you're competent, you do as well or better than people who really are. No matter what other objective criterion are involved. So there is something to all this positive thinking, or mind cure, as William James would call it. But we engaged in a process of understanding, process of attaining to gnosis. We're engaged in something deeper than really trying to be comfortable as biological beings in a world. Trying to understand our true nature. Trying to unfold that, let it shine forth. And for us, it's not enough to be comfortable. In fact, to be comfortable is kind of the antithesis of what we're about. Because it seems to imply ignorance. One has to have some sort of ignorance involved. And on the Gnostic path, ignorance, definitely not a good thing. At least not the intentional kind, the willful kind. We're all ignorant of many things. But being ignorant of gnosis, essentially hiding gnosis from yourself, ignoring it on purpose, is perhaps the only Gnostic sin. We must be very careful. We must not close our eyes to the reality that we are a part of, to the process we are, to the complexities that are a part of us. We can be both good people and bad people all at the same time, do good things, bad things, things we might judge poorly, things we might judge well. And that doesn't take away from who we are. And circumstances do impact us, but we also rise above them. So it's all a part of this very complex constellation of things, as Jung would call it. I like to use the term constellation. I like it too. Even though we are made up of a lot of the same aspects and elements as other people, we are a unique constellation of those elements. We have an ego, we have various aspects of ourselves, but we're unique in that constellation, even while we are of a type and a lot of the particulars. So how are we to progress this intent of self-examination? Well, one of the things is to watch oneself, to reflect on what you are doing. There are different levels of consciousness we have, and if we pay attention, we can actually have a part of our consciousness observe what it is we are doing. And sometimes it will raise an eyebrow at what we're doing, and that's a good place and time to try to examine that more deeply. A lot of what we do is a matter of following patterns, patterns after patterns. And the origins of these patterns are not always very apparent to us. Sometimes the origins go way back. Sometimes the origins are in the culture around us. Sometimes they are in our own psychological issues or complexes. And to see ourselves doing a pattern is to begin to uncover its nature, to engage in some sort of archaeology of our own souls, to see what this reveals. You see a hint here, a hint there, we can then start digging up and trying to put the pieces together of this lost pattern to us. And that way we reveal to ourselves what was hidden to us. This is very pragmatic, very Gnostic approach. Gospel of Thomas says, if you see what is before your face, there is nothing that will be hidden from you. If you see what you're doing, if you see how you react, how other people react, you can begin to uncover this. It doesn't take any special practice whatsoever, just paying attention. So this takes us to the Gospel for today, which is from the Gospel of Thomas. It's one of the most famous passages from Thomas. It really points deeply at what it is to be on a Gnostic path, to be a Gnostic. The disciples ask Jesus if they will enter the kingdom as children. And Jesus says, when you make the two one, when you make the inner is the outer, and the outer is the inner. And this may sound cryptic, or it may make perfect sense, depending on how you look at it. The two to be made one are not abstract, philosophical things. These are practical, experienced things. Be one. So often our consciousness is divided up, and we do not know why we're doing something. Our lives don't make perfect sense. When you look at one aspect, it doesn't jive with another aspect. Make the inner as the outer as the inner. Turn this internal life that we have the same as this external life that we have. To have that kind of integrity and transparency of ourselves is an aspect of that. Is an aspect of making the two one. Make the inner and the outer one. To not try to be multiple people. It's hard enough to be one person. And to try to have different elements of yourselves that don't necessarily go together, and have those be a part of one's spiritual life, probably isn't possible. Saying talks about seeing an eye in the place of eyes, hand in the place of a hand, a foot in the place of a foot, an image in the place of an image. That we are not to think that we know something, and not take it for granted. It's one of the aspects of this. Not think that a hand is what we know a hand to be, what we think we know it to be. Rather, to understand what it is, its particularness, and its experience. To really see what is before our face. Instead of having the idea of ourselves, the idea of a hand, to have the experience, the gnosis of a hand. Instead of having the idea of an image, something that you have seen, to put the living image there instead, to really see what is there. It's only scratching the surface of these meanings, but it is a very profound meaning. One must enter into slowly, begin to see the possibilities, and then begin to try to follow through on what is said. Another part of this saying is the male and the female. To put these together so that the male will no longer be male and the female no longer be female. We as whole human beings have many elements to ourselves. Some of those, culture, biology, other things, determined are more masculine and more feminine. In modern culture, we're rather spoiled in this respect because a lot of the traditional baggage that goes with masculine and feminine are greatly reduced. They're reduced to an extent we can't even comprehend. And even then, there's a lot of it. We as biological beings start out really neither male nor female, or our default is female. And through the process of development in the womb, different chemicals, different hormones do cause those biological changes. But as Jung and others have found out, our potential is so much greater than the actuality of a particular gender. We all contain elements that might be more readily identified as those of being the other gender. And things like gender are not as much of a binary switch as you might think. Even our very biology might be influenced more one way or another in one point of our development or another. Things are not simple and cut and dried. So we must experience and incorporate the whole of what we are, not cut off parts of ourselves, not pretend they don't exist because they don't match a type. This case being the type of gender. We want to throw ourselves on a Procrustean bed and cut all those parts that don't match our idea of our gender. So much better to be a whole person and to incorporate these various elements of oneself into a whole life. Doesn't mean we have to give full expression to things, but just to have the freedom to exist is an amazing freedom. To be able to recognize that you have a richness of yourself that may forever be untapped, but it's there. Or to have the freedom to express something that you enjoy, even though if you were 6 years old, you might get teased about doing that because that's what boys do or what girls do. Well, it's to grow beyond these things to adulthood and then shouldn't still be a slave to the kids in the playground. The point is not to choose one over the other or to be fully one or the other. The saying says, make the male the female into a single one so that the male will no longer be male and the female no longer be female. Just to say that you are taking these two elements to a new synthesis, to a new place. Not merely incorporating or being at peace, but transforming and moving beyond. This can also be seen in a larger sphere than just oneself, one's relationships, one's psychology, one's sociology, one's society. To take these supposed differences, see the differences, see the similarities, not let them be mere categories, but take them and make them real. They're not abstract, ideal categories anymore, but realities. And as the saying says, then shall you enter the kingdom. You have become transparent. Inner and outer have become one. Male and female, masculine and feminine, have been transformed into something new. There's a hand in the place of a hand, an eye in the place of an eye, an image in the place of an image. When how you get about in the world, how you touch, how you experience it, has become realized, not merely taken for granted. All these things point us in the direction of how one enters the kingdom, not as something that happens with pearly gates and St. Peter when you die, but as something that happens now in our lives. And that is the goal of our practice, one of the big goals. So, begin this process of Lent, having considered purification, now look at examining ourselves, seeing where we are, how we are. trying to begin to put a hand in the place of an hand, an image in the place of an image. See through the many veils we cloak ourselves with. Try to reflect upon, see how we are acting, see how we are making patterns in our lives, and see what those are. We don't have to accomplish it all this season, but making real progress is the only way to make progress. Not to become intellectually satisfied, oh, I understand myself now, but to attain gnosis of who we are as a living, changing, transforming process. That is how we follow the path, how we make progress. May the blessing and mystery that which hangs twixt heaven and earth upon us, may with us all. For information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.